Good morning. Another day and another devotional. Today I have two cards because one is right after the other. Two verse cards, Bible verse cards. But let's pray first. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for another morning. Your mercies are new every morning. And Father, I pray you'd be merciful to me as I give this devotional. Help me to understand and communicate your word. And Father, be merciful to all those who might hear this word. I pray there be something in it that will bless those who hear. Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The verses for today are from Romans chapter 8, verses 28 and 29. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Romans 8, 28 and 29. Familiar verses to, I'm sure, many who hear this devotional. Romans 8:28 starts with, and we know. This is something that Paul expected his hearers, and I'm a little bit tired this morning, but Paul expected his hearers to know these things. And this is what he says. He says, and we know that all things work together for good. Now, when Paul uses the phrase, all things work together for good, he's using pharmacy terminology. When a pharmacist mixes a drug, some of the things that he might put into that mixture, whether it is liquid or a pill or however it is, in the wrong dosage could be very dangerous for the person who is taking this mixture, this drug, this pill. Obviously, some things that are maybe good for you in a small dosage, in a large dosage, are bad. But here he's saying all things work together for good, and the context has been somewhat of trials, difficulties, those kind of things, the things that we might not normally think work together for good as being good. And so this perfect mixture, our pharmacist is God himself, and he brings things into our lives. All things. Some things that are hard, like trials, even cancer or terminal diseases. Sometimes people who are believers have strokes. And then there's good things. You know, a bunch of money comes to you, even as a believer. Or you meet somebody wonderful. And yet for the believer, those who love God, all of these things, whether they're things we typically think of as evil or things that we think of are good as good, all these things come into our life as part of his plan for us, part of his design for us to bring us the good that he desires for us. And that is the second part of this devotion. This devotional is all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Now, I think some have grossly misinterpreted all things work together for good. Once I knew a man who was part of the health, wealth, and prosperity gospel. And actually, I knew more than just one person with this, but this one person was extreme to the extreme, to where the other people in the health, wealth, prosperity gospel that I knew that were his friends, well, they pretty much disowned him at the point that he went to. But he was in a Bible study with myself. I was actually leading the Bible study. It was a men's Bible study. And one member of the Bible study was a member of my church, actually an elder. And the others in the Bible study were not. Yet they were friends of my elder, who was somewhat himself health, wealth, and prosperity. This was not a church where everybody had all agreement in doctrine. But this elder was trying to bring this in. And so he says, "Pastor, let's do this men's Bible study." And he was the one that invited the people in because I was still new. And I learned this. We were going through the book of Acts, and that was part of the design. And I remember getting to the part where Stephen was stoned. Stephen was the first martyr. And the man who was most extreme about the health, wealth, and prosperity gospel thought it was a great shame that Stephen had been stoned and that he died, not because of the people who stoned him, but because of Stephen's, he says, Stephen's lack of faith. If Stephen would have had faith, the stones coming at him would have turned around and hit those people that had thrown them. But it was Stephen's lack of faith that destroyed him. Then he added to that, and this I don't remember if it's the same Bible study or not, but he says, in the millennium, Christians will be winning the lottery every day. And that's how we will evangelize the world, because we will all be millionaires and everybody will want to become a Christian. Because there, all things work together good for good. And his good was Christians will be rich. They will have lots of money. That was what he was all about. And one day, he wasn't a member of my church, but one day he was a handyman who did work for all, you know, individuals. And one time he did work for a town nearby where I was. And they didn't pay him the amount of money he thought he deserved for his work. So he went into a church. He sat on the back of the church. And when the offering plate came around to him, instead of putting money in, he grabbed the offering plate and ran with it. Well, later, I found out about this, and everybody found out about it, when on the front page of our local newspaper, there was his face. Man says, God told me this was my money. He got caught. And God had told him that that was his. Well, I think that was not God speaking to him. It was a false doctrine. All things working together for good does not mean that every Christian will be rich, that they will have lots of money. All things working together for good is explained in verse 29. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Romans 8:29. All things working together for good means that we as believers would be conformed to the image of his Son. All things working together for good means that everything that happens to us, especially even the trials, the difficulties, the pains, these are meant to make us more and more like Jesus. More about Jesus would I know, more of his grace to others show, more of his saving full to see, more of his love who died for me. Not only will we know more about Jesus, but the things that happen to us, if we're truly those who love God If we are truly those who are called according to his purpose, if we are real Christians, all things, the good things, the bad things, these things, you know, I think Thomas Watson sees, even when we sin, these things will work together as believers, and we are forgiven for that sin when we confess that sin. All these things work together for good to make us ultimately more and more like Jesus. We become conformed to the image of his Son, that Jesus becomes the firstborn among many brethren. We are called to follow Jesus. We are called, Jesus says, Matthew 4:19, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. He's the one who draws men to himself. Does he draw everybody? No. Many yelled, crucify him, crucify him. Many, when Peter and the other apostles preached at Acts 2, obviously a great crowd repented. They came to know Jesus in that circumstance. But if you remember rightly, there were always also people who, when the apostles were speaking, and they were speaking in many languages, and some were understanding just whatever the apostles spoke in their own language, and yet some were saying, they're drunk, when they saw the apostles speaking this way. And so some were converted, some were true, some became ultimately, because they continued in the apostles' doctrine and in the fellowship and the breaking of bread, because they continued in the faith, all things would work together for their good. They who loved God would be conformed, and that ultimate good is becoming more like Jesus. It's not winning the lottery. It's not even finding a great spouse. It's not even being successful as a pastor and that you have the biggest church. Some of those things might be good things, but they're not the good of Romans 8, 28 and 29. That is the ultimate good, becoming more like Jesus. We who are believers should desire that more than anything else. Lord, make me more like Jesus. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you work all things together for good for us, that we might be more like your Son, more like our Lord Jesus. He was perfect. He was sinless. We're not that. We need to be made that. And you, by your providence, by the things you bring into our lives, also by your Holy Spirit and by your word, as we learn from your word, as we go through the things we go through, we thank you that all these things are meant for us to make us more, more and more like Jesus. And we thank you for that. When we see him, it says in 1 John, we shall be like him, for we will see him as he is, and we have that hope. And he says in that same passage in 1 John 3, he who has this hope purifies himself, even as he, meaning as Jesus, is pure. We would want to have that purity of Christ. That is our high calling, the high calling for which even the apostle says, I have not attained. But we press on toward the mark for the high calling of God. And so, Father, we pray you'd help us. We thank you that you do help us, and that all things work together for good, that ultimate good of being conformed to the image of your Son for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Father, make us more like Jesus. That's our prayer. In Jesus' name. Amen.